A new study found that a screening known to improve long-term outcomes in kids with sickle cell anemia is not consistently or routinely given. That screening, invented in 1982, prevents life-threatening strokes in children with the blood disease. It's recommended by the National Institutes of Health. Some experts say this failure to provide care is just one example of the many ways in which patients with sickle cell disease, who in this country are mostly black, suffer because of systemic racism present in the American healthcare system. Our next guests are the co-authors of the article, When Actions Speak Louder Than Words, Racism and Sickle Cell Disease, published in the New England Journal of Medicine last year. Dr. Alexandra Power-Hayes is a clinical fellow at the Cancer and Blood Disease Institute at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Dr. Power-Hayes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Dr. Patrick McGann is an academic pediatric hematologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Dr. McGann, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Dr. McGann, in this piece, you wrote that sickle cell patients may be the demographic that's the single most affected by systemic racism in healthcare. Can you expand on that a little for us?
Sure. So the sickle cell disease is a genetic condition that arose to protect people against malaria, people who have sickle cell trait. This happened primarily in Africa. And as a result of the transcontinental slave trade many years ago, most Americans are black with sickle cell disease, really the only condition in this country where most patients are black or African American. And many efforts, especially over the last year, to address racism in medicine have begun to make strides, but sickle cell disease is one condition where we're lagging behind and really need concentrated efforts.
Dr. Power-Hayes, can you tell us how that might affect the life of someone with sickle cell disease? Where are they not going to get treatment that somebody with maybe a different condition who's white might have gotten it?
Yeah, so as we state in the article, someone's genetic or someone's family ancestry or where the mutation arose should really be a source of medical history and trivia and really should not impact their current care. But as we know, in the United States, race affects a lot. And so when you have a population of patients with one disease that do primarily affect Black people, and you also have a healthcare system that has issues with racism, just as many of the institutions in the United States do, then those two things overlap and create problems for that patient population that need to be addressed.
Dr. McGann, how much overlap is there in this country between someone who might have sickle cell disease and other strikes against them when it comes to health, whether that's neighborhood environment, poverty, access to health care?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Dr. Power-Hayes is an expert in what we call social determinants of health, which are the things that you mentioned, access to food and housing and education and all of these things that are basic rights of humanity that many of our patients struggle with because of being Black in this country. And so these patients not only are faced with a chronic, devastating condition, but they also have to navigate this in the healthcare system while also suffering from these social determinants of health.
Dr. Power-Hayes, what would you like to see from the medical community, first of all, just in how they treat patients with sickle cell? What kind of changes could be made maybe quickly and easily?
Absolutely. I think that I will start by saying everyone who goes into healthcare does it because they want to help patients, but humans, including doctors and nurses, are fallible and have racial biases, just as do people in other professions. And so I think it's actually really important for doctors and nurses and those in the healthcare system to not feel like they are immune or that they are better than those in other fields, and to actually recognize the racial biases that they hold. And I think that's the first step, and not an easy step, but an important step towards making changes. Because if you don't realize that you are contributing to a problem because you don't recognize it in yourself, then the problem persists. And that really trickles down into many aspects of care for Black patients, care for patients with sickle cell disease, or really care for many minorities of all types.
Talking to Dr. Alexandra Power-Hayes and Dr. Patrick McGann, they wrote a piece on sickle cell disease in the United States and racial inequality, structural racism, how that is keeping people in some cases from getting care they need for sickle cell. Dr. McGann, sickle cell, it's a genetic condition, obviously, therefore a chronic condition that people are going to be dealing with all their lives. But I've seen both in your piece and elsewhere concerns that it isn't always treated that way. Like if you had a diabetes treatment, you'd have these regular checkups with them. Are we where we need to be on treating sickle cell as a chronic disease?
No, we're absolutely not, for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about. You mentioned at the top of this piece a screening test for stroke, that if you do the screening test every year for children starting at a young age and institute treatments when needed, stroke shouldn't happen to children, and it still does. There's a medicine that's been around for 30 years called hydroxyurea that is an essential medicine for sickle cell disease. It reduces many of the complications that's used in less than half of children and only a fraction of adults with sickle cell disease. Again, a condition where you have a good medicine that's really only used in a small number of patients is a problem.
Dr. Power-Hayes, can you talk about the research side of things? How has sickle cell stacked up when it comes to funding priorities?
Yes, great question. So while we like to look at science as separate from politics, I think that what this last year has shown is that in sometimes, in some ways, politics dictates a lot about scientific discovery, and where we choose to put our money really affects the discoveries that we are making and the speed at which we make those discoveries. And so for a long time, even though many patients with sickle cell disease have a known common mutation in the majority of types of sickle cell disease in the United States. So we know the underlying mutation, but it wasn't a funding priority. And scientists and doctors who are researchers in the lab need to keep the lights on. And if you can't convince the governmental agencies who fund research to help you keep the lights on and contribute to your research, it's really hard to get things off the ground. And so fortunately, in like the last probably decade, there has been realization of the importance of sickle cell disease as a research priority, and there's been increased funding. And with that, in the last few years, there has been a dramatic increase in the number of FDA-approved medications for sickle cell disease. But as Dr. McGann just mentioned, there's one great drug that for decades was the only medication for sickle cell disease. And this is in stark contrast to other genetic disorders that have had, that have many options for treatment. And some of those disorders are far more rare than sickle cell disease, but still have had faster pace of their research.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Power-Hayes, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Dr. McGann, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Alexandra Power-Hayes is a clinical fellow at the Cancer and Blood Disease Institute at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Dr. Patrick McGann is an academic pediatric hematologist at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They wrote about sickle cell disease in the New England Journal of Medicine and the impact of structural racism in American healthcare.